Hare Krishna. So, if any of you wouldn't mind to scoot a little closer. And this class is going to be mostly specifically for our students that are here. So if you also want to move a little closer, it would be nice. But you can scoot in. Upanishad. So we just have one short song we sing before speaking. It is to create a nice meditative atmosphere. So thank you for your patience. And the words are right here. This song is like a window to the spiritual world. It describes a lot of the things that you may see there.
Jai Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Janavalaba Jaya Giddivadhari, Jaya Giddivadhari. Janaranjana, Jaya Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Jai Kunja Vihari. Chari Jai Kunja Vihari.
Shri Radha Kalachanji Ki. So if someone can flip that board around, and then we'll have the invocation mantra. And this will be even shorter.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So once again, we thank all our brave guests for entering into the den of Hare Krishna Temple. Have any of you are here for the first time? Have any of you eaten at a restaurant before? Okay, it is fabulous. I saw one Yelp review. It said, the food was wonderful, but then I walked into the temple with my shoes on, and these three monk ninjas descended from the walls, and we had this wonderful battle, and they ultimately defeated me, took me to the basement, and shaved off my hair. It was great! But, so, now don't worry. Your hair is safe. So we thank you very much for coming. I just have a question for you. This is not a very spiritual question. It is just to get to see who can get the answer and just to get you guys talking, because I know many people are very shy. So for those who are here, especially the students, for the first time, if you can guess what this room was used for before we moved in. Now, the whole place was a church, as Dr. Benson said. But what was this room used for? We'll give you a wonderful prize. This could be, it's a great prize. It could be better than a new Tesla. It is amazing. So, you know, let your brain get working and let's hear some answers. I had somebody come today. It was the first, they got the first answer. They got it right the first time. So got a hand in the back. Got a TCC student there. Can you remind me your name? Jarrell. All right, Jarrell. Basketball court. All right, Jarrell. 100 points. Howdy, Bo. So he gets better than a Tesla. A book of transcendental knowledge of his choice. Hare Krishna. So a little history. This temple is established by our founder. You see his likeness here. He came to America in 1965. Actually, he landed today, September 17th, in the United States. Yes. Hare Bo! He came with absolutely no money. He was 70 years old. He had two heart attacks aboard a cargo ship. He didn't know anybody, and he made his way to New York City with practically no support. Landed from Bombay to Boston Harbor. He went to New York City, he struggled, and he eventually opened a tiny little temple. Like he had those little bodegas in New York. So just like a little storefront, about one-fifth the size of this room. That's 1966, he established that. From 66 to 77, he managed to circle the globe. You know, right, so he's taking his notes. You guys know who to take the copy of the notes from. 14 times, circling the globe, 14 times, opening well over 100 temples all around the world. Training thousands, up to around 10,000 disciples. But practically the most amazing thing that he did, as you can see, these bookshelves, some of them are on display, he translated 100 volumes of books within those short 11 years, starting with no money, boarding a cargo ship and suffering two heart attacks in the process. And so why did he come here? Well, the greatest lack in human society, what is it? Vitamin D? What is it? What are people missing out on? Knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And if you have something and you don't share, that's called being greedy, a miser. oftentimes such a thing will you know, rot. You know, you should if you have something good, you should learn how to help others. So his teacher requested him to make the spiritual knowledge of India available to the entire world, specifically through the English language, and thus opening it to others. How many of you have heard of a book called the Bhagavad Gita? So Srila Prabhupada, he translated Bhagavad Gita and many other books. One of the first things that is taught is that you are not your body. So while sitting here, if you're thinking that you're Indian, Caucasian, if you think you're African American, if you think you're Hispanic, you're an illusion, because you're not the physical body. The body is the vehicle and you're the passenger. For example, I drive a Toyota, a blue Toyota, but I know pretty sure that I myself am not a Toyota. And if I was hungry, if I had different desires and needs, those desires and needs would not be fulfilled simply by satisfying the things that Toyotas need. Oil, gas, you know, transmission fluid, things like that. I have to address those issues in a different manner. So first lesson, Eastern philosophy, you are not your physical body. So how do we prove that? How many of you are older than 7? So multiple choice question, how does the body grow? Do bodies grow like balloons? Where you add some air, you add some water, you add some substance, and just stretches and gets bigger. It's the same thing, just got bigger over time. Or is it B, your old cells are actually replaced with new cells? Kishore says D. B. You get that? B? Is that your answer? What's your answer? B? Okay. You sure? All right. So, yes, according to modern science, the body you had today is not the body you had 7 years ago. So that which was around 7 years ago is not here today. So how are you here today? Because you are not your body. Does everybody understand that? Does that make any sense? So, in the West, we sometimes say, my soul. Or we speak about losing my soul or having a soul. But the soul is not an add-on. It is not something that is an attribute to yourself. The soul means self. And the attribute, something that is added on to the self, is the body. So you don't have a soul, but you have a body, and you are a soul. Does it make sense? You guys get it? Have you ever heard anything like that before? But it does make sense. That's how it was for me. I was like, first time I heard anything like that, but man, this philosophy of the East makes a lot of sense. And so, just like you are a soul that has a particular type of body, there are other types of soul. There are other souls that have different types of bodies. For example, somebody posted a video about vegetarianism and on Facebook. And another person commented, "I'm so sick of people pushing their beliefs on others. If it is their prerogative not to eat animals, that's their thing, but it's my prerogative to..." And I saw a really funny comment. It was really, I thought it was like this is where you put the hashtag burn. The comment was, that's the same argument that that we used during the Civil War. Like, if you don't want to have slaves, that's fine, but it's my prerogative. I can have, you know, if I want, don't push your beliefs on me. I was like, my God, that's really funny. The person who wrote that didn't say anything after. It was really funny. And it's actually related because the reason we had slavery in America, the excuse was that African American people don't have souls, which is illogical, doesn't make any sense. But it just shows the fact that people didn't know what the soul was. They had no idea what they were talking about. For example, I always ask, we have Priyatama. His young child here. Priyatama, you're 10 years old? 9 years old? 9 years old. All right. Do you think that there's a battery in the clock? Yes. All right, give that man an applause. All right. Yes. Now, he didn't even have to open up the clock to investigate if there was a battery. He simply used his intelligence, and he saw, whoa, that clock is showing the symptoms of electrical activity. Therefore, I understand the presence of the battery. Very smart. So similarly, those who are spiritually intelligent, they can understand the soul by its presence. What are the symptoms of the soul? So we have students here. We should come. What's the symptom of the soul? Emotion? Consciousness, yeah. Sometimes you might not feel emotional, but you're still aware. You might be just in a daze, daydreaming, not really. But consciousness, that you're actually aware. Cognito ergo sum. Who is that that quoted? That was a famous quote of Descartes, famous French philosopher. And he said, I think, therefore I am. Meaning, I'm aware, therefore I exist. Not that I'm like contemplating, but it was more an effect of awareness. Like, how many of you seen the ancient classic, The Matrix? It's for the old people, you know. It's old. So if you see the movie The Matrix, all of us could actually be organic batteries for a robot civilization, and we could all be an illusion. But one thing we do know is what? Come on, guys. We exist, yes. What we're seeing could be a complete illusion because we could be, you know, it's like VR, you know, virtual reality pushed onto our brain. But one thing we do know is that we exist because we're the observer of that information. The eardrums move, but it's the being, the consciousness that actually is taking up that information. So, being that we're not the body, it means that things that simply satisfy the body and mind's demands. So the body may demand physical pleasure, comfort. The mind may demand profit. We want to see that our business is increasing. Adoration, we want to be respected and honored. Distinction, we want to be seen as unique and special. Power, control over others. We may desire these things. But isn't it within your own experience that those things fail to satisfy us? That is because the soul, the self, is different from the body. And we gave the example, just like if you're in the car and you're hungry, you got to put food in the driver's mouth. You can't simply just gas up, oil the car, all the things that the car needs. It has to be its own, has to be the essential person for the vehicle has to be satisfied. So understanding this gives a clear intention for life. For example, Mountain View, that is in South Dallas. What area is that? Irving or Southwest Dallas? And to get here, you guys use your GPS. Is that right? So what information does GPS need? It needs our address, but what else? Where are you coming from? Like if you call us up and say, oh, I heard you guys have the best food in town. How do I get there? What's the first thing we ask you? Where are you coming from? So the destination everyone wants is happiness. And are you going to school because you want to be unhappy? So it's your plan for happiness. I'm going to get this job. I'm going to have this cushy, situation. And I'll be happy. It's not a, like, I want to go to this school because I want to be unhappy. Or I want to do this. We do what we do out in life as a plan for happiness. So that's our desired destination. But we have to know where we're coming from, who we are. Who am I? As it said, great philosopher asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ke ami? Who am I? And if we think, I'm such and such from Dallas, Texas, then we might not be hitting the mark. Because we're actually something deeper. Now, I spoke a little bit. I want to hear some questions from you guys. And if we don't get any questions, then Krishna Chaitanya is going to shave your hair. So he'll give you not so full buzz. He'll give you like a half buzz. But if you guys, give us some questions. Otherwise, we think you just believe everything we're saying. You got to give us some questions. So we'll go across the room. Let's see. Starting this side. Any question? Mukunda, Max Rao. Why do you say that we're not the body? Because we're not the body. Spirit, soul. You're just asking just for the sake. I wonder if somebody actually. Was it Jer? How do you say your name? Jarrell. I was Jeremiah, but Jarrell. Our arts major student. I'm your art teacher. You have our blessings. Questions? Just anything, because you guys are here for the first time, so go for it. All right. So everybody hear the question? I'll repeat it. So you said at the ceremony we were all singing, but there are certain people who are actually singing in the microphone, and certain people have certain markings. What does that all symbolize? And so this is an ancient symbol called tilak. It's made from the clay of the banks of the Ganges or Yamuna River. And it's a symbol that means the body is a temple of God. So some of the things we follow is we don't take any intoxication, no alcohol, no cigarettes, no marijuana, no psychedelic drugs, things like that. So we're treating the body as a temple. No intoxication, no adultery, no gambling, and no killing animals. So this is marking my body as a temple of God, so it means I'm a servant. And the shaved head is often done by priests, or anyone who's practicing can have the shaved head, the shika. And in India, there are different type of priests and monks that shave their head. Those who are from the theistic tradition that believe that there is a God, where what is called Shika. Not Sika. Sometimes we hear people say Sika. It's Shika. There's a line above the S. And Shika means flag in Sanskrit. This is a flag of surrender unto God. And then we also have these Tulsi beads. These are made from a very sacred tree. And this is also a sign of servitude towards God. Now, you may think, well, what's God? And we say the Hindu God. No, we don't say that. No such thing as the Hindu God, the Muslim God, Christian God. There's just the same supreme being for everyone. Like if you study French, Spanish, Japanese, or any other language, there's so many different words for the sun, but you couldn't say El Sol is a Mexican sun, or Soleil is a French sun. Suraj is an Indian sun, or there's so many different words for sun in all different languages. So the same sun is there. So same God. And how can you capture God's attention? Is it by submitting yourself to the right club? Joining the right religion? Actually, the only thing that is attractive to God is love. And that can be offered in any tradition. The nice thing about this tradition is that it really clarifies three strands of religion that are present in all traditions. Karma, jnana, and bhakti. So karma in this sense means when you practice a religious process with the desire to get something. Prosperity. Jnana in this connection means when you practice religion because you want to get rid of distress. And bhakti means when you practice religion because you just want to be a loving servant to God. You want to offer something. So the nice thing about the bhakti tradition, the tradition that we're following, is it gives a really clear concept that it's not mixed with the desire for your own material happiness or the desire for your own material relief, but simply by serving God. Because if you want relief, that's all about you. If you want salvation, that's all about you. If you want material things, it's all about you. But if you want to please God, that's all about God. So it's really nice. Now they had a hand in the back there. Yes, sir. Everybody heard the question? Okay, so if we believe that there's only one God, then why are there so many separate religions? So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna addresses that how things become changed over time. He says, evam parampara praptam imam rajayosha viduhu sakalena mahata yoga nashta parantapa. This is what Bhagavad Gita means, song of God. So, just to answer your question, this is your wife? Yes. So you love your wife. And say we have somebody that we love very much and they're having some kind of health issue. And so we bring them to a clinic that is nearby our home. And we notice at the clinic, the doctor, he doesn't seem to, his office doesn't have the, usually you have some kind of degree on the wall, some kind of credential. And just something that seems very peculiar about the place. He's even wearing, like I saw this one gentleman who addressed himself as a doctor, and he had glasses, but there was no glass in the glasses. I was like, that's really, is he trying to look intellectual? I don't know. It was some kind of herbalist guy who called himself a doctor. And he had glasses, no glass in the glasses. So you asked the doctor, where did you go to school? You went to medical school? He said, of course, I went to Baylor Medical University Library. And he just like kind of... And he said, well, you didn't go to school? He said, I went to the school. I just went to the library and I read all the medical books. Why can't I be a doctor? Now you tell me, why can't that person be a doctor? And what is the credential? What is it trying to illustrate? And how do you get knowledge? You become an expert when you learn from an expert. So it's passed down like that. It's a living, like medicine. It's not book knowledge. Like if you were to translate a medical book into Spanish, you don't just need to know Spanish. You have to know medicine. It's not, like for example, to translate Bhagavad Gita into Sanskrit, knowing Sanskrit is hardly a qualification. You have to be trained in the tradition. In a living tradition, that it's been passed down from teacher to student, teacher to student, teacher to student. So if there is not a unbroken chain of teacher to student, then certain things start to show up. Things become changed over time. For example, my personal conviction is that Jesus did not teach that one has to become a follower of his particular tradition, but rather Jesus taught to love God. And that if someone is from the other side of the world calling God by a different name, I think Jesus would, his teachings are you love the Lord and then and God will accept that love. Not that, you know, there's many churches, sometimes there's one church or a temple or whatever, and they say the one across the street, they're all going to hell. You know, come to our side. Could be a church, it could be a temple, could be a mosque, could be a synagogue. My conviction is that Jesus taught pure love of God, and some of that may have been changed over time to be more of like my group is saved, rather than the teaching people how to love God. And even the idea of being saved is still selfish. It's all about how you're saved. But what about just loving God? Say, I don't care, you know, if God sends me to hell, but I just want to serve him. If I gotta go to a horrible place to serve him, I'll do that. Just like if you love somebody, you'll do so many things for their service. It's not about what you get out of it. So it becomes very selfless. That kind of love we want to see manifested. So that's my personal conviction, that Jesus taught a non-dogmatic form of religion, which we call bhakti yoga, loving God. And that love and service is applicable in every place. It existed before India was on the planet. It existed before Jerusalem was on the planet. It's the eternal religion of the soul. It existed before this planet existed. It's what we're supposed to do. That's what happens eternally, loving God. And it doesn't have to do with a particular group of people, a particular place. It's all across the board, available for everyone. I hope that is all right. Yes, sir. Meaning behind, say it a little louder. The peacock. Okay. And there, we do have a wireless mic. Maybe we could also pass that around. So there are a lot of peacocks in the most elevated part of the spiritual world. Actually, once Krishna, God himself, turned himself into a peacock and danced very beautifully. And some of God's friends, the gopas, are saying, Krishna, can you dance as good as that peacock? Now, the peacock was actually Krishna himself. And so they had a full dance-off contest between Krishna and the peacock. It's like one of like modern dance-off shows. And the peacock won. And so Krishna, he said, okay, you're my dance teacher, my dance guru. And so he carries the feather in his hair, in his crown, in honor of his dance guru, which, you know, the only person who could become his guru is himself, really. It's like, God is actually, he's not a boring personality. There's all kinds of really fun things. Like, here's Krishna, 7 years old, and he lifts a mountain with his pinky. And many times, or all across the world, throughout time, people are telling others, give me your money, I am God, worship me. But they don't do anything cool like that, like lift mountains with their pinkies, you know. So if somebody says that they're God, they should prove it. Okay, did everybody hear that? On your spiritual journey, what are the checkpoints to show that you're getting closer? And so we have a lot of literature about that, a lot of different things that can be discussed. First thing that should be understood is, how are you becoming a controller of your senses? Are you becoming controlled by your senses? So you have your five senses: hearing, smelling, touch, taste, feeling. Those are like horses on a carriage. They're very strong, independent-minded horses. You have your mind, which is the interface between the mind and the intelligence. The mind is the reins. And the senses see a cheesecake, but the mind says, I like cheesecake. But the intelligence is the driver. Now, if the driver is weak, if your intelligence is weak, you might go for the cheesecake even though you have diabetes. But if the intelligence is strong, you can decide what to do. You can say, well, I can have a little cheesecake, but let me offer to God. Let me offer to Krishna first. All right. And the passenger is the soul. You. So you have you, the intelligence, the mind, and the senses. It's a carriage. And you see Krishna in the picture of the Bhagavad Gita, he becomes a chariot driver, or Arjuna. So we want God to direct our intelligence. So a person who becomes closer and closer to God, they'll be chasing after the carrot of temporary satisfaction. How many of you have seen cartoons with the carrot dangling on a stick? Yes, we got our cartoonist right there. Studied cartoon artwork in South Africa. So, and that is basically most of our lives, we're spending our life like that. We're thinking, if I just work hard, I can make some money and I'll get some cushy situation. And it looks like a nice juicy carrot. And we might work hard and never get that carrot, or we get the carrot. And as soon as we grab the carrot, it looks like all gray. It's like, wait a minute, you take a bite, wait, there's no flavor in this. And we say, oh, another carrot. Start running after that one. So we live our life chasing after that. Apuryamanam machala pratishtam. It's like rivers flowing into the ocean. They're always coming, but the ocean is deep. So a person who's spiritually deep does not become perturbed like the ocean. The rivers can flow in, but the ocean's not going to overflow from rivers. So similarly, someone who is very spiritually, has a lot of depth in their life, there may be many material desires, but they're unaffected by it. They're peaceful because their happiness comes from divine connection, loving service to God. Such a person, you could nail them to a cross, or you could put them on a golden throne and it wouldn't make a difference to them. When Jesus was being taken to the cross, there was all these people in the streets. There's ladies were crying. And what did he tell them? Cry not for me, cry for yourself. Because he actually is not affected by that situation. A saintly person is so much on the spiritual platform that even in the face of apparent distress, they're not suffering. Because their happiness is coming from a deeper level. It's coming from within. So a simple example is my mother, she worked for Airborne Express. It's like, FedEx, bring the package to your door. Good exercise, blue collar work. So she did that. She saved up and she got a BMW. Now, anybody in that situation, you work really hard and you save up and you get a nice BMW, you're gonna park like away from the other cars. You don't want any scratch. And if that car gets a scratch, how do you feel? It is a practical extension of your nervous system. It's like, what do you roll down the window? You hit me! The car, me! Therefore, false ego in Sanskrit is called ahamkar. I am the car. Now, Bill Gates, his company car, BMW, gets a scratch. Does he feel the same way? Because of the depth of his wealth, it has no effect on him. So those who are spiritually wealthy, even in the face of apparent distress, because they're non-attachment to the situation, they don't experience it like others. Therefore, in the history of the world, you have so many saintly personalities that have been persecuted. The greatest singer and chanter of the Hare Krishna mantra. So we can say, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare. Was a Muslim saint who grew up, he was born in Bangladesh. And he was persecuted for chanting so-called Hindu names of God. Actually, it was the Hindus that started to persecute him. Some of the priests were afraid that he was teaching people the simple process of associating with God simply by calling his names. And they were teaching the very expensive process of performing expensive, intricate rituals. And so they were afraid that their pockets were getting a little less. So they complain to the Qazi, who was the Muslim king that was overseeing that land. And they said, this man, he is not a Hindu, he is a Muslim, and he's disrupting everything. He's teaching this mantra to everyone, and our wallets are getting thinner. And so they decided to make an example of him. They decided to beat him in the marketplace. Beat him to death. You have that, what is it, Mel Gibson movie, Passions of the Christ, Mel Gibson who directed that? Yeah, it's very brutal. Very, very brutal. So, like that. They decided to beat him through the marketplace. They would take him to one, we would say in America, shopping center. Take him to one shopping center and beat him bloody. And usually by the second or maybe the third, the person would die. They took him to 21 shopping centers, marketplaces. And he was still not dead. Actually, he was without any injury. And they were so perturbed. Actually, the guards were worried that if you do not die, then we will be punished. Because it is our job to kill you. And this saint, because he was so soft-hearted, he said, I'm so sorry to cause you trouble. If you need me to die, I will die. And he died. Is that the end? The end. So they took his body, they threw it in a river. And then 5 miles later, he came back to life. Walked out of the river. Walked to see the king and told him to just chill out a little bit. So, saintly persons are protected by God, and even in the face of apparent distress, they're peaceful because they're not invested in. What did Jesus say? Store not your treasures with thieves, rust, or moth lies. Don't invest in the temporary, because you're bound to be disturbed. You're eternal, and you're trying to marry yourself to the temporary. It's a bad marriage. It's guaranteed divorce. You know, you can't stay with the temporary. You're eternal. So if you're eternal, connect to God. He's eternal. You're eternal. God's eternal. You both connect together. That is a good relationship. Does that make sense? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, we got a microphone so everyone can hear.
I have a question about the Maha Mantra. Now, that we're chanting, now is this a sound vibration that's purely transcendental in nature? Or is it a material vibration that's sort of encapsulating a transcendental principle, you see?
First one. Hallowed be thy name. The name of God is holy. So what does that mean? What would you think holy means? Pure. And so what's the opposite of holy? Mundane, profane. So, as you guys heard, sometimes I used to go, when I go to the grocery store, I just ask them, oh, I have a question, you know, at the register. What's the difference between matter and spirit? You know, not where the asparagus is. Or what's the difference between matter and spirit? Like, whoa, whoa. And what do you think people say? Usually people say spirit's invisible. So then my question is, well, then can you see anything in the spiritual world? Because if it's, you know, just like if you have infrared goggles, you can see infrared, or you, if you have the tight, right eyes, you can. So if you have spiritualized eyes, you can see spirit. So you've got the right point. Matter is always in a state of change. Not necessarily destroyed, but it's always changing. And the material energy doesn't get destroyed. It's just always in a flux. Like you could have a nice pizza here, but leave it for a week or 2 weeks, or something, it's no longer a pizza. It turns into something else. So it goes to decompose as it becomes reconstituted to something else. And then that decomposes, becomes something else. It's always in a state of change. And you are eternal. Spirit is eternal. And it is not just objects, the material objects that are temporary, but even the topic of it, the subject of it. Like some wonderful, far-out movie in the theater could be out, but you're not going to watch it 100 times the next 2 weeks, even though you could do it. We could give you the DVD, and you have the opportunity to watch it 100 times, but you won't because it gets stale. It is, material things have that entropy. It's a law of diminishing returns. So how do we know something that is spiritual? It doesn't get old. Get old. So that is the practical experience that one can prove the divinity, the speciality of the holy name of God, is that one can sing any name of God, and one will find that the name of God is holy. It doesn't get old. It gets better. As you sing it, it brings the divine presence and all the amazing qualities that come with that.
Do you believe religion is made to control versus feed the soul?
So, religare, religion comes from the word Latin, religare, relinking with God. Just like the word yoga has the same meaning. Yoga is where we get the English word union, unite, yoke. So true religion means to connect with God, and that feeds a soul. That example is given. You said feed the soul. So that example is given that if you put food in your mouth, what are some things that happen to you when you put food in your mouth? You decompose? So you get some nourishment. Brian? No, I got to answer the food question first. What happens to you when you put food in your mouth? That's it? Okay. Okay, what else? Come on. Where's some? Radhe. Oh, taste. You taste it. All right. And what goes away, Radhe? When you eat food, what goes away? Hunger! So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Chavidyamam soma puputa papa. No, that's Bhagavad Gita. Anyata taisha chika eka kala tushti pushti shutpaya anugasham. That three things happen when you serve God with love, just like three things happen when you eat food. One thing that happens when you serve with God with love is you experience the happiness of that loving connection, just like when you eat food, you experience the pleasure of the taste. Another thing that happens that when you serve with God with love is Paramatma Anubhav. You get some direct perception, some knowledge, some actual awareness. Just like you become nourished when you eat food, you get some energy. And Shudpaya, just like when you're eating food, your hunger goes away. Like the question this gentleman asked, your material desires should go away when you serve God with love. So if you notice that your material desires are not reducing, then there's something that is not happening in your relationship with God. We need to make sure that we're making progress. Not that we're just staying in first grade or second grade. We have to keep on moving forward to the point of 100% in love with God. We don't want to just stay at 2%, at 3%. We want to graduate to 100% in love with God. And viraktir means not that you become detached in the sense that you dislike material things. You just don't have a desire for it. Your hunger has gone away. You're just satisfied. You don't need. For example, Florida study of the Hare Krishna mantra. They engage students such as yourself, actually not like yourself, because students that had not studied anything about Eastern philosophy, they had them chant this mantra daily as a scientific study. And they were required not to study learn about what the mantra is, just to chant, just to recite it daily. And the students started to say, after the study, they said, of doing it for several weeks, if I felt happy. Many students said, I don't know why, but I quit smoking. You know? So viraktir, one becomes satisfied. So that experience should become present. That if you're associating with the all blissful, eternal, most lovable Supreme Lord, then there should be some qualities reflecting in your life that you become satisfied and happy. So yes, food for the soul. Good question. Thank you. But as we said, things can become degraded by over time. So something that originally started to be food as this food for the soul became a way to control people. So yeah, we're all...
Prabhuji, one last question. Who discovered the Maha Mantra?
Discovered the Maha Mantra.
Or who invented the Maha Mantra?
No, it's eternal. Yeah. Goloka Premadana Harinama. It's imported from the kingdom of God. It's like an alarm clock. Wakes you up. I think. Yes?
I wanted to point out that the Bible, I believe it serves service.
Okay. So he's saying true religion means service. So in Bhagavatam, same thing, is the highest form of religion is that by which one attains loving servitude unto the Supreme Lord. Now, if service to the Supreme Lord means if you serve the root, then all the leaves become satisfied. If you water the root, you feed the stomach, the hands, the legs, everything becomes nourished. So thank you very much. This is over the time. We'll do a little bit of kirtan, and for those who want to go and eat, the feast is going to be served outside. As we mentioned, for some of you, we have just three rules, and the third rule is don't go home on an empty stomach. So, you guys know the three rules? Okay, we'll go to the three rules. So don't go home on an empty stomach either. You can eat the free feast outside, or if you want the really opulent experience, go to the restaurant and have the nice opulent experience. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And I'll join you guys outside for questions and such. Can you play it? Okay, I can't play it, yeah.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
So the next part of our program, for those of you that are familiar, we do our Tulsi Puja now, so we'll offer our pranams to Srimati Tulsi Maharani.
Vrindayai Tulasi Devai Priyayai Keshava Shacha Vishnu Bhakti Paridevi Sachavachai Namo Namaha.